We're talking New York sports. WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Oh yeah, off and running on this what now Friday morning. Gordon Damer, your overnight oasis, back in effect here on The Fan, 888-808-1019, the telephone number. Oh, my goodness, do we have enough to talk about, plenty to discuss, and we'll do so over the next 5 hours, taking you up till 5 a.m., at which time it is the warm-up show that comes your way. Yankees and Mets both off yesterday, but we'll focus on the baseball with the Yankees turning things around. The Mets. We'll find some things to talk about with the Mets as well. But where we got to start off is with the NBA. The Knicks are still the story in town, and they are still waiting to find out who they will play in the NBA Finals starting on June 3rd. We thought we might have an answer last night with Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals, the Spurs, the Thunder. After Oklahoma City was able to handle business in game number 5, you wonder, would the Spurs back at home be able to answer the bell? Would Victor Wembanyama? Started to seem like he might be running out of gas. It's been a very long season for them. First real go of this in the playoffs like this. But the Spurs able to respond. And they force a game 7 just like Knicks fans, I think, would want, right? The fact that the finals aren't getting underway until the 3rd anyway, you're waiting until the 3rd. The best thing that you can get out of the wait is for the opposing team to be coming off a Game 7. 3rd straight series, the Knicks will be facing a team coming off Game 7. How did it turn out the last two times? Pretty well. Not just based on the results of the games, but what was the story after Game 1 against the Sixers? Well, you know, the Sixers were tired. They're coming off that 7-game series against the Celtics. What do you expect? They're going to be tired in Game 1. What did you hear about the Cavaliers after Game 1? Well, yeah, you know, they did have that epic collapse, but, you know, they kind of ran out of gas in that fourth quarter. After all, they're coming off a Game 7. Now, hopefully this Game 7 will be a nice little triple overtime number on Saturday. That would be ideal. But I think for most Knicks fans, it remains the same. You don't really care who it is you match up against at the end of the day. If it's the Thunder, the defending champions, if it's the Spurs, the what seems like the dynasty in waiting with Victor Wembanyama going to be the face of the league and everything else, if it's this year, if it's next year, whenever it happens, I think for most Knicks fans, you don't care who it is you face off against. And I know for myself, I don't care. I wish we could get it underway right now. But you got to wait to the 3rd, so this is the ideal situation. Let these two teams go at it. Let these two teams do battle. And hopefully Game 7 is actually a close game outside of what? Game 1. Each of these games in the Western Conference Finals has been pretty much a blowout. Last night it was 118-91. And once the 3rd quarter hit, it was like a 30-point game. I said, okay, I can get in the car now. This one's all but over, but the finger pointing. So we'll have a Game 7 in that series on Saturday. We did get some news with the Knicks on Thursday night with the news that Mitchell Robinson has a broken pinky finger on his right hand. No timetable for Robinson's return. Not really sure when that took place. You'd have to think it took place in Game 4 against the Cavaliers, a game in which he collected 8 points and 10 rebounds. The Knicks did return to practice on Thursday as they wait up to see just, you know, who they're going to face off and try to avoid the stumbling block that they ran into last time around when they had all that time off going into the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavaliers, kind of shaking off the rust in those first 3 quarters. You don't want to have a replay of that. Last time it worked out great, but you don't want to have a replay of that when you're going up against clearly better teams. Either the Spurs or the Thunder are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, in terms of the Mitchell Robinson injury, I know that there's no timetable for his return, according to sources. I can tell you when he's going to return. I would say that there is an absolute 0% chance that he plays in game one. He is absolutely going. Now, he might have to tape it up. He might not be as effective. He might not be able to give you 20 minutes. It's not like Mitch is known for his shooting touch, per se. So I would think that he will be able to go. It might be a little rough, might be a little bit painful, but it seems like he was able to play through it in game four, and now you're at the NBA Finals, unless the pinky falls off. And think about it. It's the most meaningless finger you got. The thumbs, what makes us different as humans? We got the opposable thumbs. Pointer finger, you need to point at things, right? Absolutely. You got to be able to, you know, do things with the thumb with the pointer finger. Middle finger, that's self-explanatory. We all know what we use that for. And then the ring finger, you know, if you get married, it's kind of important. It's kind of next to the pinky. Out of the if we're ranking the fingers in terms of importance, pinky has to be number five. Has to be number five. So I would say I would think that Mitchell Robinson will be just fine to play in game one. It might be a little rough, might have to tape it up, might not be able to grab as many offensive rebounds as we've seen him in the past. But at this point of the year, who's not banged up? Who's not banged up? So I would like to think that Mitchell Robinson will be good to go, and this is just kind of gamesmanship by the Knicks. Like, what is the point of the Knicks coming out and saying right away, well, Mitchell Robinson, and it's not even like they, well, maybe they leaked it, but it's not even like the team announced this. It was reporters kind of finding this out through whatever channels they use to get this kind of information. But there's no benefit in the Knicks coming out and saying, well, Mitchell Robinson has this issue with his finger, but he's good to go for game one. Let the other teams, while they're dealing with other things right now, worry about that when we get done with the game seven on Saturday. And I can see the future. I've said this before. I can't see. It's one of those things. I can't see the future all the time about all the events. But in sports, I can see the future at times. And I can see exactly how Game 7 is going to go. It might be a good game. I'm not sure. But I'll tell you right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder are who the Knicks will be facing in the NBA Finals this year. There is no doubt in my mind. Whatsoever. It's very honorable that the Spurs were able to get off the mat and able to get a game six win in front of their home court and give those people something to cheer about. But when it gets to game seven in Oklahoma City, not only will be the Thunder maybe a little bit more on their game back at home, coming off a loss, but the officials will, this will be like, forget it. This will be like going up against Tim Donaghy and Enrico Palazzo all in one. I mean, this is going to be unbelievable, the amount of calls that the Thunder are going to get to seal the deal. The Spurs are still a year away, at least. And their time is still to come. But right now, between the Spurs and Thunder, this is the Thunder time. And if the officials have to carry SGA over the finish line, they absolutely will. We've seen it plenty of times throughout these playoffs, and I would fully expect that to be game seven. The Spurs not only have to beat the Thunder, they have to beat the officiating, they have to beat the league, they have to beat everything, and I just don't see that happening. So I would say to Knicks fans, prepare yourself for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And at least for me, that's kind of what I want. I want it to be as hard as possible. I want it to be, if you're a Knicks fan, I want you to be surrounded with negativity going into this series. Because negativity works in our favor. Think about the run through these playoffs this year. When they faced off against the Hawks, there were more. For a series against a Hawks team where the Knicks were the three, the amount of people who were trying to present it as if the Hawks, oh my goodness, the Hawks are going to be tough. They're not going to be a cakewalk. Well, they weren't a cakewalk. They did win two games by a single point. But they also lost by, what was it, 600 points? It felt like 600 points. I don't remember the final tally, but it felt like 600 points. Then in the next series against the Sixers, oh, you know, the Sixers are not going to be easy. Sixers, you know, really, Sixers might be the better team. Spoiler alert, the Sixers were not the better team. Not by any stretch of the imagination. Not really at any point. At least they did hold the Knicks in one game to single digits. That's an accomplishment. Maybe you could put that on a banner. Held the Knicks in the 2026 postseason to single digits in a loss. Which, with the way this thing is going, that's kind of impressive. That might be more impressive than the Hawks, who won two games by a single point and lost another game by 300. And then, of course, the final series that the Knicks have played so far, going up against the Cavaliers. I heard people say the Cavaliers could be tough. This is not going to be easy for the Knicks. Spoiler alert, it was easy for the Knicks. Now, the big challenge, or maybe the biggest challenge that the Knicks have going into the NBA Finals, be it against the Thunder, or if somehow my vision of the future is not real, and it actually turns out to be the San Antonio Spurs, which I if you're a betting man, I would highly doubt it's going to be the San Antonio Spurs. But the biggest obstacle is that the Knicks, again, will have to deal with this long layoff. And at least in the last series, that was the biggest obstacle the Knicks had to overcome. Now, they were able to overcome it. They were still able to win game one. But you saw the rust early on in that game where it took the Knicks a couple of quarters to really get rolling. Took them to the second half of game one to get rolling. Now, the Knicks and Mike Brown have said that they're going to go about their business differently. It's still very, very difficult to simulate what you would be going through if you were playing games every other day. You really can't, and you don't want to, right? Look, you could have an injury pop up in practice just as much as you, if you're practicing too hard, you could certainly have an injury pop up, and that's the last thing you want. So there's a balance between you have to be able to push things to a certain so that you're not rusty or at least knock off the rust as much as possible, but also have the team take it somewhat easy where you don't want to be pushing them too much and risk injury. There's another aspect, because I can see the future. It will be the Oklahoma City Thunder that the Knicks are facing in the NBA Finals this year. There's one last aspect that the Knicks, now I don't know if you need to do a whole day of it. Maybe it's the type of thing where you do it a little bit each day. I find that that's a better way to learn rather than just lumping everything on at once in one day. The Knicks have to tap into their deep reserve of actors to help the Knicks learn how to act like they are getting fouled on every single play. It's the only way to compete with the Oklahoma City Thunder. And look, the Knicks have the ability to be able to reach out to people. They have Celebrity Row. I realize probably the Lakers have a deeper reserve of people that they can go to. But the Knicks are no chumps when it comes to actors attending the game and being big Knicks fans. You know, I don't know if he still attends games on the regular, but Dustin Hoffman, two-time Academy Award winner. He's attended plenty of Knicks games. I don't know if he's officially part of Celebrity Row, but you could reach out to help you learn how that when the opposing player brushes against you, you fall down in a heap. Like all of a sudden you've lost all your bones. That's what SGA does, and he's the MVP. There is no one better in the NBA right now in terms of flopping than the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are the defending champions, not just of the NBA, but also of flopping. And SGA is not just the MVP of the league, he is also the MVP of acting in the NBA. He spends more time on the floor and will spend more time on the floor during the NBA Finals than that decal they have of the Larry O'Brien trophy. They still call it the Larry O'Brien? I'm not sure. The championship trophy, which is on the floor, SGA will be on the floor just as much. So the Knicks have to be, I don't know if it's the Chalamet kid. I don't care if it's Edie Falco, Michael Imperioli, Ben Stiller, Spike Lee. He's not necessarily known as an actor per se, but as a director, he certainly works with actors. The Knicks should spend a day or two brushing up on their acting skills. Because when they face off against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA Finals, starting on June 3rd, they will have to be ready for the battle of a lifetime. There is no one better in the NBA, and this is not selling calls. We've all lived with selling calls our entire life. This is just the next boss in terms of flopping in the NBA, which is going on for a while, but SGA has taken it to another level. He is, again, the MVP of the league, but also the MVP of flopping. And if he is going to act like he all of a sudden loses the ability to run and just falls down every time he gets touched or breathed upon, the Knicks have to respond to that challenge. And I know what some Knicks haters are saying. Well, you know, Jalen Brunson, he's just as bad. No. Jalen Brunson might sell a call. He is not in the level of SG. I have not seen Jalen Brunson fall to the court repeatedly during the NBA playoffs. SGA, every time, he's like Private Santiago from A Few Good Men. He can't run from here to there without falling down. It's incredible. So the Knicks got to get on the horn. I don't know if it's through the Garden of Dreams Foundation. They can reach out to Matthew Modine. He's won awards for things. He's an actor, Full Metal Jacket, Stranger. Reach out to your contacts and just get a little brush up. Because the challenge that is facing the Knicks is not just playing basketball. It is also selling the officials. That all of a sudden there's apparently a sniper in the roof. And every time you come down and somebody just happens to defend you, even the slightest, you fall down in a heap. Like SGA. And this is what the NBA apparently wants. This is what Adam Silver apparently wants. He doesn't see this as flopping, even though they put rules on the books for flopping. When was the last time anybody actually got a fine for flopping? Has it ever happened? Will it ever happen? I don't expect it to happen in the NBA Finals. You're not going to change the way you officiate. So the Knicks, they got to fight fire with fire. If he falls down, you fall down even more. NBA Finals, NBA Fever, catch it. 888-808-1019, the telephone number, 888-808-1019. Let's squeeze in a couple of calls here before the break. We'll go to Mike is in Oceanside. Mike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
I just don't feel like people are grasping just how impressive this whole run is. I was watching something, I think on ESPN or whatever, how the point differential for the Knicks is 271, about 75 points higher than the Golden State Warriors in their run in that 72-10 team or whatever that was.
I don't know what the official, you know, like I know it's like 260 or something like that. Yeah, I mean, look, they're blowing out every single team in the game, you know, outside of the one game against the Sixers. Every single game has been by double digits. And sometimes it almost feels like it's by triple digits by the time these games are. I mean, you're seeing the bench get completely emptied out and none of these games are close, which is a complete anomaly in the NBA playoffs. You know, usually in the NBA playoffs, you have games that are somewhat close. That has not been the case for the Knicks this year. And it really hasn't been outside of one game in the Western Conference Finals. It's not really been a case there either.
And yet you also have to look the rest that they're getting as a team, but the rest that the starters are getting for the fourth quarters, you're gonna have like a very, very, very dangerous fresh team going into this final series.
Absolutely. Well, look, I think that the Knicks are, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm obviously speaking from the fandom point of view. But the Knicks are, if not now, when? If this is not the year, when? When would you ever be playing better than the Knicks are playing right now? And you get the benefit of, you haven't played in a week and a half, and the other team's coming off a seven-game series. Now, would I like to have home court for you? Yeah, maybe. But when we started this season, and really it goes back to the end of last season, we all said, Knicks, got to get to the NBA Finals. Got to get to the NBA Finals. And there was a scenario where the Knicks could have gotten to the NBA Finals. Like, if this had been a more traditional playoffs where the Knicks were winning series in six games or seven games or back and forth, if they got to the NBA Finals and lost, there was a scenario where you would have felt like, you know what, we haven't been to the finals in 27 years. It's not a franchise that has tasted a whole lot of success. They've made another step forward. They've taken another step in progress. This is a successful season. I don't think that you can look at it that way now. This is your time. This is the team. How would you ever be playing any better than you're playing right now? And for all the people who will tell you about how, well, you know, the West is just so much better, and I want you to keep, please, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Ah, the Knicks, it's just the result of the schedule. It's just the result of this. But please, keep saying it. That's what I want. But I would simply say, if the Thunder were in the East and played all the same teams in the exact same order that the Knicks played, how much better would they be? How much better would they be? The Knicks have lost two games the entire postseason, each by a single point. They've won 11 games in a row, one of the longest winning streaks in NBA playoff history, and they've done so with a point differential which is higher than anybody in NBA history. So if it were the Thunder playing in the East, you're telling me they would dominate this much more? If the Spurs were playing in the East, you're telling me they would dominate that much more? This is the time for the Knicks. This is the season for the Knicks, and they absolutely have to get it done.